Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a barely together Gaming Uncensored. And, of course, Tommy's sitting over there. What's on the show this week, sir?
Game Awards. That's a big thing. Game Awards just happened a couple days ago. And so we've got all the news, really, to talk about. We might talk about winners a little bit, but that seems really ancillary to all the news because it was a very, very newsy Game Awards and news that I quite enjoyed. Lots of very fun announcements in the Game Awards. So we'll get into that. We're also going to talk some Indiana Jones because we've been playing Indiana Jones and we need to talk about that because we haven't talked about that on the show yet. And so that's going to be the bulk of it. We'll see what else we get to. Cyberpunk has a big update. There's a couple other things out there, but yeah, Game Awards kind of dominating everything.
Yes. And for good reason, because it was a really good show.
Was it that I will say I think it was my favorite Game Awards of all time. Like Jeff does a good job. We've talked about this in the past. Jeff does good work generally in all of his events. Pretty decent, but this Game Awards was really, really great, in part just because there was a lot of announcements that are stuff that we're into, and that helps, obviously. And when you come to us and find the things that we like and tell us we're getting new games in those worlds, but still was very, very fun.
I thought it was interesting because I felt like it was kind of a throwback to the very, very first Game Awards called the Sonic Video Game Awards back then, complete with Snoop Dogg.
Yes.
If they'd have thrown in some Halo and some Madden, I would have thought it was like 2006.
Right. yeah, I had that thought at the very beginning when Jeff said something about Snoop Dogg was there. I was like, man, is this 20 years ago? Like, did we go back to Spike Video Game Awards? And Snoop was fine. Snoop was fine.
Snoop was Snoop.
Yeah, I mean, at this point. And that was one of the thoughts that I had, because anybody that's been around us 20 years at this point knows how much we despise the Spike Video Game Awards. Just found it so cringeworthy. It was a running theme on very early Gaming Uncensored. And so I was thinking about the fact that me 20 years ago and seeing Snoop Dogg at the Spike Video Game Awards was like, oh, that's terrible. And then me at 41 in 2024, when Jeff goes Snoop Dogg this year, I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty fun, actually. I watched Snoop Dogg on the Olympics, and he was awesome.
You know, like, I actually thought, like, that's my guy right there.
Right. Because we're older, and he's older, and he's like this, like, I don't know, like caricature version of himself, but in like all the best ways. Like, he's just a dude like living his best life at this point. Like, he gets to make video games, he gets to go to the Olympics, he gets to like hang out with Martha Stewart. Like, what the dude's life is, I have no idea. He smokes a lot of weed and he just does what he wants to do, and he seems like he's having a good time, and that's infectious. And so it's fun watching him.
And it's like, and I thought about this because we trashed it back in the day. But like, here's the thing. He's everywhere right now. He's on The Voice. He's been in the Olympics. He's doing everything, and it's just nice for me to see that in, and I'm about to enter your wheelhouse here, so correct me because I'm most likely about to be wrong. The music industry right now is a little sketchy. Is sketchy the right word?
I think sketchy is a good word.
There's a lot of artists out there.
Yes.
There's some really good artists out there, but there's a lot of really, really bad artists out there.
Yes.
And I just, when Snoop was on the stage and he was like, yo, I've been doing this 32 years, my thought was, crap, it's been 32 years. That guy deserves some props. Yeah. Like, the fact that he's been doing it 32 years and he's still relevant and he's making music that doesn't suck, I really appreciate at this point.
Yeah. It's just in part that he's just having a blast, you know?
Yeah.
Again, there's something about that that's infectious. Like, you just see somebody having a good time. You're like, okay, like, I can get behind that. And doesn't take himself too seriously at this point. It was cool seeing him with his son talking about their studio and excited to see what they do.
Death Row Games, baby!
Right? I'm really curious to what that looks like. And so,
I was like, I wonder if he's going to talk about Trick Knight or where are we going here? I really do. I dig it.
I do too. While we're on it, just so we get out of this part of the Game Awards, and we'll jump around a little bit. But just because we already talked about the one of the big celebrity cameos, let's just go ahead and talk about the other big celebrity cameo that happened right at the beginning of the show, that they got Indy himself to come out, which was pretty cool. I really dug that Troy Baker and Todd Howard were up there talking about Indiana Jones, and then, you know, lift the curtain and here comes Harrison Ford. And I really dug that. Obviously, we've talked about so much about how we're big Indiana Jones fans and, of course, big Star Wars fans. And Harrison Ford was like the cool dude when I was growing up. Like, there was nobody cooler than Indy and Han Solo. You know, like, those were just like the epitome of coolness for me. And so seeing him, even when he's 80, you know, come out at the Video Game Awards, very obviously drunk, because
he was
drunk in every single like public appearance I've ever seen him in like the last 20 years. But still, you know, like, giving kudos and props to Troy Baker for doing the Indy voice, and like, it was just cool. I really enjoyed it.
I really enjoyed. I mean, we're both old enough to when Indy and Star Wars came out. I remember, of course, I'm just barely old enough to remember when Indy came out, but like, I remember seeing Star Wars for the first time and my dad going, that's cool, but watch this, and found American Graffiti. And
yeah.
I don't know if you've seen American Graffiti, but that was Harrison Ford before Harrison Ford got cool.
Yes.
And so, like, that's just been a part of my life for a really long time. And
yes.
And it was interesting. I don't care that he was very clearly enjoying himself, because yes.
Again, live your best life. Yeah, whatever. So that was fun. And just a moment here to mention that Shrinking is a phenomenally good show. That Harrison Ford is one of the characters in a very, very different role than Han Solo or Indiana Jones, but it is wonderful. He is incredibly fun and charming in that show. And so Harrison Ford in his 80s like works really well as like this psychologist, counselor, whatever, therapist, and it's fantastic. So
I've been telling myself for 2 weeks that I'm gonna start that, but for the life of me, I can't stop playing games. I've seen no TV except for PTI in like the last 2 weeks, and I feel horrible, but at the same time I'm like, this is what we've been wishing for 20 years, and here it is.
Yeah.
So
absolutely nothing wrong with that. So on that note, let's talk about indie. But before we do, big shout out to the Patreon guys: Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, Andrew, Luik, Logan, Liz, Jordan, Gio, and Derek. I almost made it through. I was trying.
The list is so long, you made him cough.
I know. It's brutal. So thank you guys for supporting us. We appreciate it a ton. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, obviously we'd love to have you go by gaminguncensored.com, hit that become a patron link there near the top of the page.
We would, and I would like to say that because everything is going on at the Discord, I feel like the round table's coming back.
Yeah,
we've got almost everybody back. We it's blowing up over there. I got to tell a quick story just to start off the indie discussion. The other night, what was that, Friday? When was the Video Game Awards? Thursday. Okay, so I'm here in my office playing in indie because that's the new thing. And I'm playing it, and my watch starts blowing up. And I'm like, I don't know what that is, but I'll get to it eventually. And 30 minutes goes by, and my watch is still blowing up. And I don't know what that is, but I'll get to it in a minute. I was trying to get to a save point. And I open up Discord, and you guys have a running commentary about what's going on the show. And I was like, oh, crap, I forgot what day it is. And so, like, I was, like, an hour behind because I was playing indie.
Yeah. And that's understandable. That makes a lot of sense. It was I wasn't planned by any means, just happened that a couple of us were sitting there while the Game Awards was on. So Cabbage was there, which was fun. Wolf Deity was there, which was cool. Gio from CO, Logan popped in. So yeah, just a little bit of the Gaming Uncensored crew on the Game Awards, and so, which is all obviously up on the Discord, which you can also access by going to gaminguncensored.com. There's a link to Discord over there, so come join us because that's pretty fun stuff to be able to just like chat real time about events that are going on. Like, that's cool. So
Duff, I'm looking at you. I've had a running conversation with Duff about being on Discord, and he sounds like us 2 years ago. Like, I don't want to do that. Well, I can't get it, but I'm going to get him over there.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
It's yeah.
So,
where should we start with it? Like, I should say, I hate to sound like Uncle Tony here, but technically this is your account, so I should let you start.
I'm happy to. I do love some Indiana Jones, and so the too long to read version is I'm digging it. It's fun. It's indie, and you get to play as indie, and Troy Baker is convincing as indie, which I was not expecting him to do even as good of a job as he has done, with as talented as we know that he is. So I'm really digging it. I have thoughts. We have gone back and forth a little bit on some of the technical stuff, and we can talk about that a little bit more. The kind of short of it is just, it seems very poorly optimized.
Yes.
I've run into lots of like frame rate issues, and like I've had screen tearing issues, but only on cutscenes. Everything else runs smooth, but then it gets to a cutscene and then but that's went away now. And then it just has been kind of stuff happening. The game looks very, very pretty.
It's very pretty.
Nothing wrong with how it looks. It is not the prettiest game I've ever seen. It doesn't still hold a candle to Cyberpunk, which is just absurd in what it is.
And I think that's why I have an issue with the frame rate and some of the issues that they have. Like I booted it up and my system was like, nope. Like, I had this week.
Yeah.
Like, I understand it's Unreal 5. I get all of that. I understand how awesome Unreal 5 is. But I'm like, my system, I had one little bug like 3 weeks ago with Cyberpunk where I had frame rate issues and tinkered around with it and basically reset the settings and turned everything back up. And now I'm getting nearly 100 frames a second after the new driver update. So Cyberpunk is running very, very well. If that's running well, everything else ought to scream.
Yeah, especially Indy, which again looks very nice. It's a very pretty game. I don't want to come across as saying that it's not, but it's just not as overly impressive as something like Cyberpunk. It doesn't blow your doors off in that same way, and so your expectation. And I've gone anywhere from getting well over 100 frames per second in it to getting barely 50 frames per second on it without even changing any settings, just from booting it up one time to the next time. And I'm just like, why is this so inconsistent and what? So I finally got it kind of at a place where it's pretty stable. I get between like 70 and 100 frames per second, which is more than enough to play it smoothly and not worry about it. And I just turn the frame rate counter off and don't care anymore. You know, I could just want to experience the game. I'm not going to get too caught up on it as long as it's running. I will tell you a fun story. When I first fired it up, the intro sequence where you play the beginning of Raiders, which is fantastic that you get to play. I just love that so much. But for whatever reason, graphical weirdness, Indy's hair was platinum blonde for me. His hair and his eyebrows were platinum blonde. Like, it ran fine. Like, I was getting decent frame rate and everything else. But, like, just obviously something graphically had tweaked, and his hair and his eyebrows were platinum blonde. I'm like, what is happening here? And then, you know, reboot, that fixed that. I haven't had that issue again. But it's just so many little weird things like that that are just like, this should be something I just fire up and it works, and I don't have to really tweak too much. Like, I like the tweaking, but like, I want to play a game, you know. Right. Like, the tweaking's fun in order to play games. The tweaking is less fun when it's necessary to get the game to work. So that's a little complaint on the technical side, but once you kind of get it dialed in, it's fine.
So I'm the same way. I really like it, and I just got to bring up the ongoing discussion I've had with Duff. I started playing it. I told him I started playing it. Then he got it, started playing it. And he was like, you just watch. This is going to be you guys' game of the year. And I immediately said, no. I was like, no, absolutely no. Like, it's not there. Nope. And he's like, I guarantee you, by the end of it, you'll be calling this your game of the year. And let me just say, because we've talked about this on a few of the last shows, the reason it's not going to end up being Game of the Year, and I really don't mean this as a negative, but it's doing everything that a Bethesda title does.
Yes.
this is exactly what we've been talking about a Bethesda title. It's great. It's not all-time great.
Yes.
Like, our bar, because of Cyberpunk and Baldur's Gate 3, which, by the way, holy cow, we got an update too. We got to go back to that.
Crazy.
Because of those two titles, my expectations for Game of the Year are that.
Right.
And anything below that, nope.
Yeah.
Indie is great. It's not that.
Yep. I 1,000% agree with that. I think that's spot on. And I had the same thought coming in, so I'm glad that Duff brought that up too. It is a really fun game that I'm going to play through.
I'm
such a fan of the franchise, but it's, you know, like, as a game in and of itself, it's fine. It's, you know, like, this is the thing. And I'm really curious, because obviously you and I are big fans of this franchise. And so just the fact that there's an Indiana Jones game that's pretty decent, and you get to, like, embody Indiana Jones in such a way and, like, explore and puzzles and all the things that are, like, my absolute favorite part of the game is, like, weapons in the game are, like, just whatever you find, which is completely Indiana Jones. Like, that's
it's the coolest thing.
Yeah, I have a gun
and just knock somebody over the head. Like,
yeah, I have a gun. I have never once used the gun. I haven't even taken it. I don't even know the mechanics of using the gun. I hope I never do. Right? Like, it just isn't like what I want from an Indiana Jones game, and the fact that it's just like I picked up a violin and bashed a guy over the head with it, you know, was like, okay, that's cool. Like that's indie, you know, like that's, and so there's stuff like that, that they do a lot of really good fan service for. Again, Troy Baker just killed it. And so that's really good fan service because it just feels like indie. But I'm really curious, like for somebody who's not big on this franchise, is this game something that you're enjoying or have any interest in or whatever? I read Gene Park did a review, and he was very candid in the fact that he's not a fan of the franchise, like has lots of problems with Indiana Jones, doesn't care for it. And thus, like his take on it was like, it's fine, you know, like it's a fine game, but it's not spectacular. It's not anything, you know, like, because like the allure of it is that character, yeah, and to a certain extent embodying that world that that character lives in. And if you don't have a kind of built-in passion for that coming in, I would have a hard time seeing this game stick. This isn't bringing people into Indiana Jones.
No, it's not. What it is, and I snicker every time I boot it up because you see the Lucas Games logo and you hear the little, you know, the John Williams, and I get giddy every time I hear it. What this is an interactive indie movie, and it's a good one at that.
Yes.
Right? Like, I gotta talk about the Raiders scene for a second, because I texted you. You actually texted me with a screenshot and said, look what I got. And I was like, wait, what? It's not supposed to be out till tomorrow. And when you texted me, I was watching Raiders because I was like, I gotta do a little pregame.
Yeah.
And so I watched Raiders, and you text me, I boot the game up, and the first thing that you see is walking through the jungle, and I'm like, what the? I just watched this. What the crap? Like, this is the cool, like, I didn't know that this game was based around Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's not.
Yeah.
But I was freaking out for it.
Yeah.
Like, I just saw this.
Yes.
And
this, again, it's like, just it's pure
shot
fan
for
service.
Shot.
Yes.
It is shot for shot.
Which is so freaking cool that you get to play like this iconic scene from the movie. It just sets the stage so well for making you feel like you're in that kind of cinematic experience, because obviously everything that happens after that first 20 minutes is like all new content. This isn't pulled from any of the movies or whatever, but it already has sold you, again, if you are a diehard fan of this series, on being in that world of being indie, of getting to experience this thing that, like, I know that sequence like beat for beat, because I've watched that movie so many times, you know. And so, like, I was like, this is so freaking cool. And then, you know, did you get to go into the rest of the game where you keep that kind of energy, even though it's fresh and new? And I'm really enjoying it. Again, not game of the year by any means, but a really fun game. And if you like indie, like, you're going to dig it. And so I'm jonesing already to get back to Final Fantasy, because Final Fantasy is a significantly better game. Yes. Like, just all in all, just significantly better game.
And I think we're almost done, which I'm sad about.
We are getting. Because, man, we've spent a long time on that. There's just so much other stuff out there. But we got to finish too, because it's Final Fantasy, and, you know, it is what it is, a fan service and all that. But Indy is going to get some time. The screenshot I sent you was me playing it on the Steam Deck, which is very cool, because you can stream it on Game Pass, and streaming Game Pass works really pretty well on Steam Deck. And so it's a game that I've spent some time just playing sitting on the couch as well, which is fun, and it translates quite well, and obviously doesn't look as pretty on the Steam Deck as it does on my PC, but it runs great and plays great, and I mean, it's all cloud streaming, but it's great and it works well, and so really dig that too. And so that's another like added perk of Game Pass, is now that the Steam Deck is just another way to access, you know, these streaming games, and that's fantastic.
Just a couple of things before we wrap this up that I have to mention. First, I will say, I've listed them on the Discord. I have like 18 different games going on. And before Duff texts me after listening to the show and says, "You guys are full of crap. It's going to be your game of the year by the time it's over." I will say that I am absolutely 100% certain that we will both finish this game, which we have not done with Cyberpunk. We have not done with BG3. We will finish this because I don't think there's enough there that I can put 80 hours into it and not even be out of Act 1. So, right. Like, you know, that's where I am with BG3, and I don't think this is that. So I think I'm going to get through this game.
Yeah.
And I think you will, too.
Yeah. The how long to beat, just quick Google, is the ballpark of 20 hours.
Yeah.
So, like, that's such a nice little, like, palate cleanser-ish, you know, time for stuff and stuff. Yeah, yeah, we're going to play it. We're going to dig it. It's pretty great. And we'll talk to you more about Indiana Jones next time, I'm sure, because we're actually playing the same game at the same time, which rarely happens. And so that's fun, too. So we will get more into the story and all that kind of stuff, I imagine, next time. But this time, we've really got to get into the Game Awards,
because
there is a crap ton of stuff to talk about the Game Awards. It just was ridiculous how many announcements we got. And so let's I'm trying to think if there's anything else kind of show-wise. We talked about Harrison Ford and Snoop Dogg. Was there anything else kind of just on the production side of things you want to get into before we get into games and announcements?
Okay, so we got to talk... because again, this is your wheelhouse. We got to talk about that orchestra that they have, that they've had every year for the last 10 years. They're fantastic.
They are.
They're fantastic. Like, we're music Nazis, and they're great. I thoroughly enjoyed that. I've skipped those sections of the show more than a couple of years. I really enjoyed it this time around.
Yes, I concur with that, with a few exceptions of where it felt a little bit out of place. But for the most part, it's really nice having musical performance at a Game Awards show that sounds like video game music for the most part.
Yes.
As opposed to what it was during the Spike Video Game Awards, where you get, you know, these random artists up there that were just playing their songs and it felt completely disconnected. This is nice because it doesn't feel disconnected. Some of the, like, sappiness over it, like, I kind of was, like, cringing at Jeff, like, wiping tears out of his eyes.
He was trying not to cry.
It's lovely. It's nice. I know.
Like,
people have different emotional experiences. So that's fine.
Can we just say that apparently this show and the Summer Game Fest, he's passionate about it. Mm-hmm. I think he's made it clear. And by the end of that show, I felt like he was about to tell us that he had cancer and he had a month left to live. Like, that's what that felt like. Like, I don't know if he's thinking about wrapping it up. I don't know. Right. Like, we're passionate that way about this show. That's what this show is for us. And we got a little emotional a couple of years ago, but not like that.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if there's some background stuff going on. That,
sure.
You know, maybe.
And it was the 10th anniversary of the Game Awards, and, like, it was, you know, it was a big night. So I don't begrudge him at all for that, as much as cringy to me. I am also an emotional robot. Like, we've talked about this before. Like, I just, it's not my thing. And so I could go, okay, I get you, and not begrudge you, and at the same time, not connect with that. Aside from that, though, the music was lovely. And I love what they do every year now with the Game of the Year nominees, that they do the music from each game, and that's how they show the nominees at the end. It was great. And just that, I get, you know, I'm a sucker for that. Even if I'm not sappy about it, I think it's very cool.
Yep, absolutely.
So game announcements, we're gonna miss some, just telling you right up front. We're gonna miss some of these, so please, if there are games that you are excited about that you saw at the Game Awards and we don't talk about it or don't talk about it enough, or you disagree with us or whatever, we don't care, send us a segment, because we would love to play that and talk about it as well. So just getting that out of the way, there was a pre-show. The pre-show had lots of game announcements, and so we'll hit a couple of those. Weren't the biggest ones, obviously, because they shared those for the full show. But a new Ninja Gaiden, which is significant and looks very cool. Ninja Gaiden Ragebound looks very challenging, which I'm sure it will be, because it's
it always has been, so I expect it to be
right. I didn't expect anything different, but very pretty, what do you call it, like, you know, kind of side scroller 2D thing, but just like, I don't know, it's Ninja Gaiden. I don't know, like, if you're not into Ninja Gaiden, it probably didn't do anything for you, but like, that's something we grew up with, and so it just was like, oh yeah, that looks super cool.
Well, and Ninja Gaiden is that game that you got to like level 3, and that's as far as you ever got. Like, that's what the game was. Like, I don't remember ever seeing past, you know, level 3. Yeah. And so it's exactly what I expected it to be if you're going to do another one.
Yes, for sure. And so that looks very cool. And then another one we got, which we have to talk about because it also ties into Secret Level, the Amazon show that I don't know if you've seen any. I haven't seen any of yet.
I have not. We need to watch it because apparently it's good.
Apparently so. Shadow Labyrinth, which is Pac-Man. Hold that thought if you haven't seen this yet, is Pac-Man, but it's like Metroidvania Pac-Man, and it's like intense and dark, and it's like you're playing as this dude and like Pac-Man's following you around. I don't get it even in the slightest what is happening here, but I'm kind of fascinated by it, and apparently it ties into the Pac-Man level of Secret Level, like, which apparently is also very good, and not something that I was expecting to like be looking forward to, a Pac-Man TV episode, but apparently it's good, and apparently this game ties into whatever it's doing story-wise, and the game looks like it plays in a really fun way, because I'm a sucker for a Metroidvania. The fact that it's Pac-Man does very little for me, but at least I know what Pac-Man is, you know. And so like, it's very, very weird take on Pac-Man, but here we are. It's 2024. Why not do a weird take on Pac-Man?
I mean, everything's weird, so why not? I think everybody but us is smoking weed on a daily basis. And like, that has a lot to do with it. Which I'm not begrudging, because, you know, whatever. But like, you know, it fits right in with the other weird stuff.
Yes. So, which is cool. We'll take it. Let me see here. Like I said, I'm going to skip over a bunch of stuff to get to some of the bigger announcements, and then we can kind of circle back. And this is going to be kind of out of order, whatever. It is what it is. The Witcher 4. Let's just dive into some of the fun stuff now. We get to the big full show, get some big, big announcements, some big debuts. The Witcher 4, which obviously we know, we've seen a little bitty teaser for, but didn't have any details for it. We saw a lot, not gameplay, a lot, but it's The Witcher. We know how it plays. We know.
Right.
To see a lot of gameplay for The Witcher, honestly. But what we did find out, which was significant, not a huge surprise here, but a validation of what I think a lot of us probably figured would be the case, is that Ciri is going to be the main protagonist of this game, Geralt.
See, I'm about to like lose my right to host this show, because I was surprised it ended up being Ciri. I have not, I've played about 80 hours of the first Witcher game. I've not played The Witcher 2. I've played a little bit of The Witcher. So, like, this is one of those franchises that I need to sit down for about 3 years and that be all I play. Like,
yes.
I've seen the TV show. I've read a couple of the books. Like, it's not like I don't know what's going on. But like, the trailer fired up, and there she was, and I was like, holy crap, that's Ciri.
Yeah.
And so I like it. I think it's cool. I can I say this about The Witcher at this point? I don't know how those guys are going to make The Witcher 4 and not have another Cyberpunk, because the expectations at this point after The Witcher 3, and The Witcher 3 has been 15 years ago, like, but the expectations are so high that, like, I don't know what to make of this. Like, yeah, it's gonna be another Witcher game, but, like, I don't know if it's gonna be good.
Yeah, the benefit they have with The Witcher versus what happened with Cyberpunk is that The Witcher is established.
Yes,
part of what went so bad for Cyberpunk in its launch is that it had so much promise of being something new.
Yeah,
and it was A, terribly buggy when it launched, as we've talked about a lot, and B, didn't live up to a lot of the hype, and it has kind of gotten there over.
Yeah, it grew into the hype,
right?
Like
it wasn't still that when it launched. The Witcher, like, of course everybody's going to expect it to be great because it's The Witcher, but there's no, like, expectation of it being something that it's not already. I would say the expectation is that it provides more of what we've already seen from The Witcher, with a new protagonist that is familiar but not somebody we've played as much in the past, because you do play as Ciri in The Witcher 3 for sections of that game, and so it's not even a protagonist you've never controlled. Like, there's parts where you've played as Ciri, but, like, I think that's what they have going for them. Is it going to be as good as The Witcher 3? I don't know, because The Witcher 3 is phenomenal. And so, like, there's a good chance that it doesn't live up to that hype. But should be a much more successful game day one than Cyberpunk was day one. Now, what it becomes and what Cyberpunk has become, again, is different things. But Cyberpunk was massively disappointing when it launched. I don't think this is going to be a massive disappointment when it launches. It may be an 88 Metacritic as opposed to a 92 Metacritic. I don't think it's going to be a 65 Metacritic, or, you know, something like that. Like, CD Projekt Red knows how to make a game, and they specifically know how to make a Witcher game. And so I anticipate it's probably going to be solid. Game of the Year nominee or not, but solid.
It's going to be nominated for Game of the Year. What I don't know is is it going to deserve it? Which, it's stupid for us to be talking about this, because I don't care what they say, it's still 2 years out.
Oh yeah,
two, 3 years out.
Yeah,
it just is
100%. Like, that's not something we're seeing
so
next year. Whatever they said, they didn't say whether we're going to see it, I don't think. And so, but we're ways away from The Witcher 4. But just seeing The Witcher 4, very, very cool. And again, yep, seeing kind of details of it. We also got new Elden Ring. And so this was not something that I was as pumped about. Obviously, we've talked about our kind of feelings about Elden Ring in the past. But this was by far the thing that got the most, like, hype online, got the most hype over at the Discord that people were freaking out about. And so I totally get it. Night Rain, which is co-op, first of all, which is cool. Right. And is, I believe, I understood this correctly, standalone. So this isn't DLC to Elden Ring. This is standalone new Elden Ring content. So all the, like, should Elden Ring Shadow of the Erdtree be nominated for Game of the Year or not, because it's the other. This is not going to be the case here, which will probably be nominated win Game of the Year because it's FromSoft and Elden Ring and everything else. Big deal, new Elden Ring coming next year.
So I gotta tell you this, because we haven't talked since the last time we did the show. Cabbage is at the Discord now. And the reason Cabbage is at the Discord now is that he texted me after the last show. And he basically, I could see him across the text shaking his head going, "You guys really need some FromSoft representation. Because you don't know what you're talking about," essentially, yes, is what he said.
Yes.
And that's what got him over to the Discord. Welcome, buddy. We're glad you're around. And we expect you to be your weird, normal self. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But like, and he's right. Like, I don't care about these. Like, Duff has played all of Elden Ring, and he's playing the Erdtree. I don't care. Not interested at all.
Yeah.
Like, I know they're great. I get it. I don't care.
Yeah, I wish it connected with me more. I really do, because I envy a little bit the love that people have for the FromSoft games in general. And just have it yet. I'll give it another chance. I'll play this one when it comes out, assuming that it's something that I can get into. But it's just like, I want to like them. Fine. But it's just, I'd rather play other stuff. So speaking of other stuff I'd rather be playing, there's a lot of that coming up, because there was a lot of stuff that I was like, oh, this is for me and Jamie. Like, Jeff was like, Tommy, Jamie, I got you. Like, here's your games coming. So first, an untitled project from the creator of Ico, Shadow of the Colossus, and The Last Guardian. This dude climbing into this robot head as, like, there was this massive explosion that happened a ways away, and trying to, like, take off before the shockwave destroyed the rest of the robot, just, like, severed its head and went up into space. It's fantastic. I loved it. But, like, What a massive get that is. And Jeff talked about having lunch with him and getting to show this game and how much that meant to him and all that. It was super cool. So, yeah, geeked about that.
I don't know what it is about this guy that I love. All I know is Ico is the last one of the first of his games that I played and the last one that I beat. Like, I've played pieces of the other ones, I've seen the other ones, but Ico was the one that I went all the way through. And when we started the show, I went off like a nut job for years about how good that was. And to just see more of that just makes me happy.
Yes. 100% just looks very, very cool. So there was that one. I'll go to just the other one that I know, like, you about fell over like I did when you saw, and that's a new Onimusha game. Is a title you and I have talked about a lot on this show in the past, and I think it's just because of our age when that game came out. Like, it just was where we were at that point. I feel like a lot of people don't know Onimusha in the same way that we do, but was legit excitement about it, both in the room when they announced it, on the Discord. And so, like, it definitely has an audience that's more than just us. But man, we have said at, like, every, like, press conference that we've watched for the last 20 years, oh, that looks like Onimusha. Like, some game will pop up and we'll go like, oh yeah, that reminds us of Onimusha, but it never is. And this one, as soon as it popped up, I was like, oh my God, this is really it. This is actually Onimusha. Like, we're actually getting it. And sure enough, it was.
And the crazy thing is, like, I'm not screaming from the rooftops because, like, it looks really cool. I'm really excited. But, like, until I see it running, like, none of that was gameplay. So I don't care until I see, when I see it running, that's it. Yeah. Like, I'm just going to have to, like, lock you in a room, and we're going to have to go through this, because I don't, unless we get the accessibility controller set up in the office, I have no shot to play this.
Yeah.
Fair.
But just like, this was my favorite, like, hack and slash game of that time, of which there were many great ones. Like, I love Devil May Cry as well. We played a lot of Devil May Cry. There was a lot of other ones around that, but Onimusha was the one really, really dug. And so,
and it's weird because that was, like, that was a Dreamcast game, if I remember correctly.
I don't remember. I know it was on PlayStation. I think it was PlayStation 2.
You may be right, but that, Google that, because I'm not sure. My brain says Dreamcast, but I'm probably wrong. PlayStation 2 seems more accurate because I don't think you had a Dreamcast.
I never did. It was PlayStation 2.
Right. Okay.
Was where the original was.
Okay. Cool.
Showed up in different iterations in the years. In different kind of ways, but I mean, to me, a lot of what I do like about Souls-like games are things that, like, Onimusha was the first thing that I ever played that was like that, you know? And so, as long as it's not, like, brutally difficult and punishing in that way, like, the original Onimusha games were not easy.
No.
They were hack-and-slash games. I like a good hack-and-slash, even if it's going to be updated for kind of more modern sensibilities of combat. Like, still give me something that's kind of fun hack-and-slash and not overly punishing.
Overly punishing and overly complicated, because I meant to bring this up with Indy. You want to know what would make Indy great? You want to know what would make it an A title? I meant to bring this up. I totally forgot. Huh. If they turn it into VR, because I don't know if you've noticed. I don't know if you've noticed, but whenever you do anything, you hit E, and then to like grab onto whatever the thing is, and then you hit another button, whether it's S or whatever, depending on whether you have to pull a lever down or like it makes you pull in that direction. I'm like, this is a VR title, but for a PC title, like it's more buttons than I'm happy with. Like, just let me hit E and open the door. Like,
yeah,
cute that you make me hit another button to like turn the knob.
Yes.
But like, I don't need this. And yes. So back on the overcomplication, can we please not overcomplicate Onimusha, because Indy is almost overcomplicated.
Yes.
And I think it's great, because if they put it in VR, it's a 90. Like, if it were released in VR, we would be screaming out loud.
Yeah.
Because it's fabulous. But on a desktop, I don't need all that.
Yeah.
So I
agree. I'm so glad you brought that up. It is just the, like, press X and then press the left stick this way and then press whatever, because I'm playing with a controller and I'm like, this is not immersive. Like, I understand what you're trying to do, but does it make me feel like I'm more part of the game? And that's, again, sorry for the brief rant here on Indy, but I've brought it to mind. Now I want to say it. I don't love that it's first person. I don't hate that it's first person.
I don't mind
I think I would like it better if it was third person over the shoulder kind of thing where you see him, because I don't feel like I'm embodying Indy. I would rather see Indy, you know, I'd rather see the hat and the whip, or I'd rather see him, you know, in like the priest outfit, which is the section I'm in now where he's
yep.
the whole time, which is cool. And I want to see this character that I know so well. I don't want to be looking through his eyes. It's fine, but I think I would enjoy the game more if it was third person.
I actually like the first person, but there are sections like walking around as the priest. So I totally agree, because I'm right there. I think
like so much of the game is like sneaking mechanics, and I just think that's a whole lot easier in third person. Like, I think it would just feel a whole lot more natural, and it's fine. It's, again, that's an aside. That's not important one way or the other. It's not a big detriment to the game by any means. But
back to the original point. Like, can we please not overcomplicate things? Yeah. I feel like every game now does that. It's like, how many buttons can we push to do one thing? And like Black Ops 6. Sort of tried to combat that with their like adaptive accessibility controls, where it kind of knows what you're trying to do. So all of a sudden you're in a level and your guy just starts running along because it thinks this is where you're supposed to run. Like, and as a guy that needs some of this stuff, I appreciate what they're trying to do, but how about we just don't overcomplicate it? Like, just simplify it and don't tell me you can't.
Yeah.
Cause I know you can.
Yeah.
I think that in general for games right now, just turn the complication down a little bit. I think somewhere in development, a developer somewhere got in their brain that complication equals difficulty,
yes,
or complication equals challenge, and it doesn't.
Yep. Spot on. I agree with every part of that. That was good.
Yeah.
Couple other things, getting back to our childhood, just to mention a new Turok game,
Turok
Origins, which was one of those when I started playing, I was like, there's no way that this is Turok, but that looks a whole lot like Turok, and sure enough, it was. it's fighting dinosaurs, like which we've been able to do a lot of recently with Horizon. Turok's a very different animal than Horizon is, but it does have some of that same kind of vibe to it. And Turok was such a big deal when we were young. It was shooting dinosaurs, which was a crazy thing to do on the N64, but it was very, very cool. And so this is one of those games I'm like, it's probably gonna suck, but it's kind of cool that they're trying.
Can I just say it's gonna be a B? It's gonna be an 80 Metacritic, like
which I'd be happy if it were an 80 Metacritic. I think that'd be a success. I don't need this game to be the best game of the year candidate, but you know, shooting dinosaurs is fun. So, also a new Virtual Fighter coming. speaking of games,
Virtual Fighter, holy cow! Talk about Sega. That one. Let me break out the 32X and let's play the Virtual Fighter. Like that's wow.
Yeah. So I don't know what to do with it. I'm just not a fighting game person anymore. They showed Tekken 8 too, which has Clive from Final Fantasy in it, which is cool, whatever. I'm just not a fighting game person anymore. But when we were young again, those were all the rage. We played tons of fighting games.
Yeah.
I get it. Borderlands 4, they showed off more of Borderlands as a franchise. I've never gotten into.
I Randy, buddy, I love you. I really do. but the last time I really enjoyed Gearbox, and I don't mean this as an insult, but the last time I really enjoyed Gearbox was Half-Life expansions. Yeah. Like seriously, I get that Borderlands is a big deal. I get it. I understand. They're not all time great. They're not. They're looter shooters, and they're the best looter shooter out there, period, and no discussion. I'm not arguing that.
Yeah.
But it's not like it will probably get serious consideration for Game of the Year, but I can't think of anything to say other than it is what it is. It's Borderlands. We know what it is. If you play that, great.
Yeah. The people that love Borderlands really love Borderlands. Again, it's one of those ones I'm like, if I had some time to spend with this, maybe I would get it. I just haven't ever spent any time with it. And so
I don't. Well, Duff and I tried, and then he realized I didn't have any reflexes. And he never invited me back. And so, yeah.
Fair enough. Joseph Ferris was there to show off a new game because Joseph Ferris is at every Game Awards.
I have something to say about this dude. Finish your talk because I got something to say.
He makes a splash every time he's there. The name of the game is Split Fiction, which again is very much a Hazelight Studios game. It's co-op, No Way Out, like It Takes Two, what they do. This one, you play as two writers, one who writes sci-fi, one who writes fantasy, and you like embody these kind of two parallel worlds where you have to like go back and forth between. Again, it's that co-op mechanic that Hazelight does, if you're familiar with it and you like it, which I happen to.
Yes.
You're probably gonna dig it, and so I'm in whatever Joseph Ferris is doing, basically.
So our web genius Evie is a writer who has recently gotten into video games and trying to figure out development and that kind of stuff. And she gets so frustrated because it's all blood and guts and, you know,
sure,
you know, knocking a fool over the head, and she doesn't want to do that. And I saw this and I was like, she needs this. Like, I need to give her this is what would excite her. And I think there's a lot of people out there that I saw that and I thought she would just go ballistic for that, which reinforces the fact that I think between the two of us, she's going to get a really great Christmas present this year, I hope. And this is why.
Yeah.
So I think the game's going to be great. I want to play it because all of his games are great. I think, and I've never thought this before, but I was listening to him talk, and I think Joseph Ferris may be a low-key genius. Like, I've never thought that before, but I think he may be a freaking genius.
Yeah.
Like, I saw him out on the stage, and dude just, he just does what he does, and he doesn't care. And I love it. It's great.
Yeah. And he's very good at it. He makes good games, and he's a compelling person to listen talk. It just, yeah, it's fun. So I'll mention this just because it's remarkably similar. Otherwise, I don't know that we'd bring up this game. But there's a game called Stage Fright, which is from the developer of Overcooked, which is a great franchise in its own right. But it's this same kind of idea that's co-op between these kind of two split worlds with these two characters. That this one is different style, different, like it's much more cartoony, where the Hazelight game is a little bit more photorealistic approach, not photorealistic really, but a little bit more in that vein. But like it feels like this same kind of side-by-side dual worlds thing. I was like, why do we have two of these games? I thought we just saw this. And so I'm having a hard time keeping straight which one is which, because they seem so similar to me. Hazelight, I trust, is going to be pretty great. This one, I don't know if it's going to be that great or not, but just interesting to point out that this idea of a co-op game split between two worlds is popular, apparently.
And somebody's awake. Wee! Yes.
Do hear a baby in the background. So yeah. Go take care of that here in just a second. We do have a couple more games to mention. I'll go through a couple of these quickly. We got to spend a little bit of time on the last one. Mafia of the Old Country, we'd seen a little bit before. Pretty cool idea, like an origin story for Mafia in like Italy in the early 1900s of how like it came about. I don't know if it's going to be good or not. Like there's some really cool ideas here. I hope they can execute. Mafia games have been decent. I've played a chunk of Mafia in the past and enjoyed it. And so I hope they can make it good.
I hope it's good. Like, one thing I will say about the Discord, I swear this will make sense when I'm done. One thing that's great about Discord is apparently Logan has become the free games guy.
I appreciate it, Todd.
And we have a free games what channel. Do you even call that channel on the Discord? And he literally posts every free game he can find. And good old games has gone crazy. I've got like 18 games in the last 2 weeks from good old games, and a couple of those are Mafia games, Neverwinter Nights, Baldur's Gate.
Nice.
Like some really, really, really good stuff. So I really feel like that is, I really think, I'm trying to figure out how to put this. I know that the way these games are going is the right way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because it's kind of in that vein.
Yes.
Some of these, yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Absolutely. We got an announcement. Didn't see anything of it, but announcement that there's an Okami sequel in the works, and that's very cool. Another, like, between that and, like, Team Ico, like, coming together at this same Game Awards, it was like, oh, wow, this is a lot of, like, nod to a certain type of gamer, which we happen to be, which is cool, is exciting. And then the last thing we saw, which we got to at least mention here, because we didn't see the gameplay, we don't have a great idea of what this is, but we saw enough of it to know that we're pretty pumped about it. That's Intergalactic, the Heretic Prophet, which is a good name to start with. But this is the new Naughty Dog IP, which was not what I was expecting from Naughty Dog by any means, that it would be sci-fi and whatever this is. But whatever this is looks pretty cool to me. And the like combination of it being Naughty Dog, and I know how Naughty Dog makes games and then generally how they play, like, makes me not worry so much about what the gameplay is actually going to look like, and knowing how they tell stories, which is what
that's what I was gonna say was, yeah,
the thing that I'm
we
really
know good. What the gameplay is. I'm wondering about the story because it looks like a this generation Metroid, like for nobody that's really played Metroid, like that looks like what it could turn into, in that she's very obviously a bounty hunter, and all kinds of things can happen around that. So yeah. I'm not saying that she's gonna get stuck on a space station with Metroids. Sure. it's kind of got that vibe.
It 100% has that vibe, which I am obviously here for. Anything that has a Metroid vibe to it, I am pretty pumped about. It definitely has that. You get a little bit of a taste of it at the end with a little tease of what combat will be with this cool, weird sword looking thing that she's wielding before it goes to the, you know, black or whatever to the credit thing that shows off. This game is so far away. We're not going to see this
like,
anytime.
This soon. Is like 4 years.
Yeah, this is like right a PlayStation now. 6 title. Yeah. This is not something that we're going to see soon. I don't care. Knowing that Naughty Dog is working on something new has me really excited because I love Naughty Dog, but I'm also, you know, a little bit worn on Uncharted and The Last of Us. Not that I don't love those and would not hesitate to want to see more of those. By the way, Uncharted still way better than the Indiana Jones game is.
Like, yeah.
Like, it's okay.
Duff, hear me out, because Duff and I have been talking about Duff still tells me on a weekly basis that this show is going to be huge. And we're both going to get to retire, and this is what we're going to do for the rest of our lives. Let me just make this clear to you, Duff. When that happens, which I believe you that it will eventually happen, I may be 80 when it does, but it will eventually happen. When it happens, one of the first things you and I are going to do is play through the Uncharted franchise.
Yeah,
we're going to play through all of them because they're fabulous. And I want to play every other Naughty Dog game that there is because they're good.
Yeah,
that's where we're at with that.
Yeah, and that's, you know, where it's going to be a long time before we see this, and I'm fine with that. But it's Naughty Dog, and so what's not to love about it? So
can we? I know we're out of time, but I just thought of one that we have to. That I had to bring up with you, just because it has one of my favorite people behind it. And that is Warren Spector and Thick as Thieves. It's a multiplayer game. I don't know that I'm going to be able to play it, but I really dig, again, same vein, I really dig that he's doing something that apparently he's real happy about.
Yes, that is very, very true. Warren Spector, who did Deus Ex. A handful of other stuff, but yes. It did stick out to me in particular in and of itself, but anything that has Warren Spector's name on it is something that we're interested in and to check out. And so obviously it has that. So there you go. That was at least a general overview of the Game Awards. We will come back to talk about some other stuff on the next show, including we have a segment we're not going to get to today, but we'll have to get to in the next show of a very special guest opinion on the Game Awards. And so we will get that in the next show, which will hopefully be pretty soon. Yes, because we definitely have to deal with that. But for right now, that is I was going to mention game releases because we typically do. I was looking, there's not a whole lot happening right now. There's a new Power Rangers game, if that's your thing. And so, okay. But
maybe you can get your daughter to play that.
I bet she would dig it. We've got so much stuff she and I need to play, and so we haven't got to that. There's a game called Lorelei and the Laser Eyes, which I know zero about, but has a 91 on Metacritic, so for what that's worth, something there that's pretty good apparently. So but now excuse me, obviously this isn't the big time for releases because this is a big time to sell games. Indiana Jones was the kind of big thing that's happened recently, and obviously we're pretty pumped about that. 87 on Metacritic right now, by the way, which I think is spot on. I think that's probably right where it should be.
Before we get 18 zillion emails telling us that we did not mention Metacritic, or not Metacritic, Metaphor.
Yes.
We know we didn't mention Metaphor. We understand. We know it's great. I pulled that up on Steam. I want to have it. I want to play it. We just know we don't have time. There's no way in the world that we have time to play this. We know it's out there. We know it's great. We know we have to play it. We just don't know when.
We didn't even talk about the award winners, Game of the Year. We didn't even mention Game of the Year went to Astrobot. Which is another one we got to play. Yeah. Apparently, is phenomenal. And so, Metaphor won best RPG. I was trying to think of what else was in there, but good games that we need to play. Bellatro got a lot of love, which was nice.
Yes,
Bellatro got a lot of love.
So, you have kids, so we have to play Astrobot.
We have to play Astrobot because apparently it's phenomenal. Like,
yeah, and they were
close to a perfect game as I've ever played. I'm like, oh, okay, we got to do that. And that reminds me of Ratchet and Clank when it first came out, and we were like, okay, we have to play Ratchet and Clank apparently. And then we played it, we're like, oh, this is phenomenal. This is so good. And I think Astrobot's probably going to be that way for us too.
Yeah, and I love that the lead of the team said, hey, we did this because we all have kids.
Yes.
And we want them to be able to play stuff. Sure. And I really dig that, and because of that I really want to play it.
Yeah, for sure. So anyway, that was the Game Awards in a nutshell, minus the awards, because we didn't talk about them at all. But the announcement's way more important than the awards ever were. So
everybody watched the awards. Everybody knows who won. You don't need to hear that much. So he's got like 8 zillion things going on over there. He's got kids awake, he's got a ham smoking, he's got all kinds of stuff. So we gotta wrap this up. We will be back. Hopefully in the next, I don't know, 10, 15 days or so, pretty quick, because it is the holiday season, and you know we love this time of year.
Yes.
So we will be back. In the meantime, you know where the voicemail is, gamingonsister@gmail.com. The email is gamingonsister@gmail.com. The voicemail is
509-GAME-210, which works, and we're getting phone calls, so call up the voicemail line, leave us a message.
Which, by the way, we gotta say, if you're new to the show and you've left us a voicemail, we haven't played it yet, we're so excited that you left us a voicemail. We will get to it. We're so excited to have that back. That's a thing that hasn't been on the show for a while, and I'm so jazzed to have that back.
Me too.
Because we got the Discord going on, I can see the roundtable coming, I can see lots of other possibilities. I'm very, very excited. We hope you guys are too. I would tell you to go by the website, because there's lots of show notes that we did not get to. I don't know what they are, but I know we didn't get to them. So go by, check that out. Other than that, is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
I'm Jamie, that's Tommy, we're Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.